If you look at the end of the first chapter of James, verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Okay, religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. This is not isolated to this portion here. All the way through the Old Testament, you see this measuring stick of godliness, how people treat orphans and widows. But in the Old Testament, there is one other group of people mentioned besides orphans and widows, and it's the strangers in the land. If you look with me at Deuteronomy 10, I'm going to bring a couple of these to your attention and then have you be alert for more of them as you read your Old Testament. Verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. I think you see the same kind of statement in Exodus 23, and you see it a couple of places in the Psalms in the 90s, one of the Psalms in the 90s, and also in 146, I think 146. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. God is concerned about people who are otherwise helpless. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been in another country and you didn't speak the language and they didn't talk English. Okay, do you feel hopeless, helpless? I remember flying around the world with Kelly Dillon when Kelly was 19. We had a 9-week trip. I said, we were flying different flights, meeting each other. And we left Frankfurt. I said, I went to Berlin and he went to Austria and decided to stay there and ski for a while. And he finally showed up. And I said, listen, Kelly, if I lose you again, I want you to keep heading home. I don't want you wandering around Europe. Well, we flew from Frankfurt to Paris, and it never occurred to me there's more than one airport in Paris. And I was, right. And I was at De Gaulle, and I'm not sure which one. Dorley, is it?
Dorley, what? Charles de Gaulle.
I'm not sure which one I was at. The one on the north side is what?
Charles de Gaulle.
Yeah. I was at the one on the south. And I couldn't ask about planes, flights. The French in airports know how to speak English, but they won't. So anyhow, it's a helpless feeling to be someplace where you cannot communicate, or where everybody sort of shuns you. And the teaching is to give your hospitality to orphans, widows, and aliens. Okay, now we know the orphans and widows. We have a lot of aliens in the land, although this is written to Israel. I think we take the principles and apply them to ourselves anytime. You knew that Bessie was a missionary in Japan when we got married. And after we came back to the States in 1952, we started opening our home to students. I remember Indonesian students in our home in Monterey. And when we went to Washington, D.C., same kind of thing. Annapolis, Maryland, not as much. But we did it on special days. I always had another primary ministry. And when we came to Moscow Pullman, our primary ministry was students and the church. But every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, the university would push everybody into a common dorm that stayed there. And I would go down to that common dorm on Christmas morning, just walk down the hall, knock on doors. Do you have any place to go for Christmas, for dinner? And some would say yes, and some would say no, and would you like to come? Complete stranger. And we did that for years. Now, that wasn't our regular ministry. We just did it at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Maybe some other days, but they were major days. And our children picked up on it, Heather especially. So her senior, maybe her senior year in high school, she started, we got an older woman to do it sort of full time, and Heather was a major key in it. So pretty soon she had, all the way through college, several women that she would see once a week, different days of the week. And this went on for maybe her last year in high school and the year between there and 4 years at Idaho. And then after she graduated, she had a Bible study of several Taiwanese people. And one of the Libyans, Gaddafi got unhappy with the University of Idaho and made all the Libyans leave. And they transferred to other states. And one of them went to Arkansas. So Heather wrote to Hal Guffey and asked if he would find somebody to follow up this Libyan family at the University of Arkansas. And he wrote back and he said, yes, I will follow up. And Heather, would you like to go to Cairo for a year and work with international students in Cairo? And so that's how Heather got to Cairo. And that's how she later got to Istanbul. But in the meantime, we were doing other things. So the international work was done pretty much by Heather. When she came back from Egypt, she heard of an 18-year-old Saudi Arabian bride from Medina. And her husband had been in the States for quite a few years and had been living with different American girls, but he finally realized he should be a good Muslim and wrote to his father and said, pick me out a wife, I'm coming home to get a wife. And so he went home and got this 18-year-old girl and brought her back. Didn't know a word of English. Heather heard about her, and he kept her shut up. She was really from Arabia, really a real Muslim. And Heather called and asked if she could visit her. And the guy was belligerent and anti, and who do you think you are, and what do you want? And I said, well, I just wanted to visit. Well, okay, you can come and visit. So she visited her once a week. One day she missed. And the husband was on the phone so fast it wasn't funny. Heather, get over here. You're not allowed to miss. And when this young woman was going to have her baby, this Saudi Muslim wasn't about to be in that delivery room. no way. It was, Heather, get over here. And so she kept doing this. And so we got more involved. She was at home. So we got into it more full-time when I was back out at the Grange. I had 5 years at the Grange with the main church and then 5 years with the student church on campus. And then another church started back at the Grange when the main church moved to Gladish. And the elders asked me if I would take both the student church and the new church. So I did for a few weeks and a few months, and then I said, Nils, you take the student church, I'm just going to go with this new church. And the new church was made up of about 30 people, most of them sort of melancholic, depressed, sad, defeated people. And it took about 3 years to get everybody into some sort of joy. But then during those 3 years, I built the congregation from 30 to 20. Now, when I first went out there 10 years before or 13 years before, we started out with 30 people, and it grew. But there's no competition in town. But now we had Busby and Swanson both in town. And so, and I didn't want to take people from them, and not that I didn't think I could. They have to come out to the Grange, and you know why do that? So one night at our prayer meeting at Denny and Irma's, he was one of the elders of the church. But they were one of the, I won't say depressed, but melancholic couples. But we had the prayer meeting at their home. And in praying, I realized that we had seen a Dutch woman, a Nigerian woman, two Chinese men, and an Indian woman come to Christ in this little fellowship that was, well, rather than compete with what other people are doing, let's go after the internationals. Well, how? Well, we'll just advertise free English conversation classes, free babysitting, and free rides on Sunday morning. And so we gave ourselves 2 months to get ready from the 15th of September to the 15th of November. We opened, I think, the 15th of November, probably 85. And 35 internationals and 16 children showed up. And we haven't been able to slow it down since. And it's, we've advertised a couple of times, but generally the word just keeps getting around, and many people have come to Christ, and many people have grown in the Lord. So our leadership right now are made up of two Koreans and two Chinese, and Roger and myself, and some others, and, well, three Koreans and two Chinese. And one Korean's just been a Christian a couple of years, and the other's been a Christian about 4 or 5. They're godly, godly men. And the we find out that any kind of hospitality really, really pays off. People don't refuse hospitality. They spend years as a student and never been inside an American's house. Don't know what it's like. And when you invite somebody, they come. And what do you show them? You show them the whole house. You show them the attic. You show them the furnace. You show them all kinds of things they don't know what it looked like. Show them the bathrooms. Eventually, they ask questions. Why are you doing this? You know, and they figure out there's a difference between Americans and Christians. I go home tomorrow, and we'll have a weekend conference starting tomorrow night. And I suppose we'll have 80 to 100 people there, and 80% of them non-Americans. And the speaker will be Alvin Low, who is from native of Singapore and taught in the seminary in Singapore. And I expect there'll be some conversions, and I expect there'll be people built up in the faith. We were picking people up with cars. Bessie and I would both take a car. Sometimes Gordon would take a car, and we'd pick people up to get them out to the Grange. So one day, Walt Butcher offered us his van, 12-passenger van, and we filled the van up in addition to the cars. And then a month or so later, we found an inexpensive school bus, and the Lord really led us to it. He bought the school bus. We found it, I think, on Tuesday, made the decision Tuesday afternoon. Rob Cheeley went from Coeur d'Alene to Spokane to pick it up, brought it back to Coeur d'Alene on Wednesday. Les Potter and a friend, Tim, I saw them Wednesday evening at the Bible study at Evans' house, and said, how would you like to go pick up a school bus? He said, sure, if I can go get it at 4 in the morning. I said, fine. He said, I got to be back here at 7 to drive the school bus here. I said, all right. So I called Rob, and I said, somebody will meet you at 5:30. So he brought the school bus back. It came to our prayer meeting at 9 in the morning. We went and got it registered. That was on Thursday morning. Found a driver on Friday, and took it to the Billy Graham Crusade filled with Chinese on Saturday.
Really? That was all
the one? Okay. Now, what I'm getting at is now we drive the bus, and the bus fills up going to church. In other words, if we had two buses, they'd probably fill two buses. Right. Our limit is whether we've got the space and the people willing to give the hospitality. Now, we've done a lot of other things. I brought some correspondence. My tether will. This fellow is with the Dong Sa Securities Company Limited in the Wall Street of Seoul, Korea. He's a foreign investment. Barbara, I'd witness to him, but Barbara led him to the Lord. Dear Pastor Wilson, praise the Lord who led us to share love in him. I'm rejoicing like the time when I was born again in spring of 86. As a matter of fact, I had not been adjusted to the Korean society for quite a long time since I arrived at Seoul. No rules in the society in general. The Korean government's no morality, as well as its no ability to lead people. No one does not trust its politics. Government always lies to people. Crowdedness, rudeness, pollution in air and water, and increasing dreadful crimes. I continued to think of that no other place than Pullman. And I kept asking God, I had to stay in this land. If possible, please let me out of Korea. But God answered me through Matthew 5:13, I would obey him if he needs me here. Also, I realized problems did not come from the environment around me, but from myself. I found the truth. I am sending some Christian books. God especially taught me through books, which one written by Korean pastor, O.K. Hanhom, published by Durano. Titles of them are God's Will in Our Pains, Bitterness, No Christian Something Without Tests, except the two above. Others are translated from English books. You can find English titles in the books. I'm supposed to send you part of the tithes for Barbara in December this year. As you know, that does not belong to me, but to God. Oh, did you know news that Mr. Yeon Chi Hong, who transferred to a school in California last year, decided to retransfer to a seminary? You can confirm the news by asking Mr. Park Young Ho. I understand Mr. Park visited Mr. Yoon this summer. Let's praise the Lord and pray for Mr. Yoon. Mi Young, Sung Wong, Jae Won, that's his wife and children, and I miss you and your family. Please say hello to Barbara and Chris and Jesus, Gyeong Hyuk Sa. If you have a telefax in the bookstore, please let me know. Now, I've got letters here also from several from China. We got some names of people. Actually, we called the China Daily and asked if we could advertise. Initially, he said yes, we were going to advertise, send for your free Bible. And then later said, no, we can't do that. One of the people we were working with, he said, well, that's all right. He said, I'll just give you a list of names you can send Bibles to. They're hungry. So he gave me a list of professors, and we sent a stack of Bibles to these places, different parts of China. And I've got letters from two of these fellows. And one of them said he got interested in Christianity from translating a Bible storybook into Chinese, children's Bible storybook. Also, a few years ago, a Chinese walked in the bookstore, a medical doctor named Chin Shindi. Found out he's a Christian, that he had been led to Christ by his sister. And his parents were old-time army communists, both father and mother. And his uncle had gone in the Long March. I don't know whether you know the Long March from Mao, about 6,000-mile march from southeast China to northwest China. So it's a real communist family. And during the Cultural Revolution, the sister, Chen Hong Hong, could not go to college. There were no colleges. So she was taking piano lessons, and getting piano lessons, she asked the piano teacher if he knew somebody who could teach her English. So he said he did. He introduced her to this man, old man, who was a Christian and who led her to Christ. And then she turned around and led her two brothers to Christ, both medical doctors. And one of them came to Pullman. So in the process of getting to know him, I got his sister's address. I thought, well, here we're talking about smuggling Bibles into Russia and China. I'm just going to see if they'll go by mail. So I wrapped up, I think, 4 books. An English version and a Chinese version of 2 different books. And sent them airmail to this address in Beijing. And got a thank you note. So I sent her a whole box of books. I got another thank you note. This time I sent by sea mail. Well, some months went by. It was, I guess, about 2 years ago, just this last April, I got a letter from Chongqing, which is a long way from Beijing. And this letter said, I am 62 years old, and I was an orphan during the war, and I came to Christ in Madame Chang's orphanage in Chongqing. And he said, some of the brothers here in Chongqing and I would like to start a literature mission ministry. And I came across a book in Beijing that you sent there. And it's called A Picture Bible by David C. Cook. It's a cartoon edition of the Bible. He said, could you send me a copy? I'd like to translate it and have it translated into Chinese and get it across China. So I sent him a copy, and I sent him a whole box of books. And he thanked me. I said, do you want more? So we've probably sent him 40 boxes of books and Bibles and textbooks and everything since then. And in the early correspondence, I asked him if he'd like a printing press. Oh, yes, would he like a printing press? So we had this offset 1250 that we didn't use anymore, and we finally got enough money to, it took $200 to crate it, and got somebody to carry it to Seattle, and shipped it to Hong Kong, and got enough money to get it to Hong Kong, and then got some more money to get it up to Chongqing. We sent it in December, right after Christmas, I think, and they got it the 17th of March. Got a thank you note, and here, everybody just laughed. You just donated a printing press to the People's Republic of China. Now we've sent them the plate maker. We haven't gotten the word. We knew it was in Hong Kong. We haven't gotten word that they got it yet, so I don't know. It's unlimited. In the last 2 months, I've given out 5 cases, 24 books, 24 New Testaments in a case. Given out 5 cases of Chinese English New Testaments without pushing them on anybody. They were just put them on the table and they're gone. And so right before I left on this 2-week trip, I left word for Barbara to order them from the International Bible Society. Got word back that they were out, but we found them in Pennsylvania. But they didn't sell by case, but we just got the same amount and individual copies. But it's not just in Chinese. I mean, if we have, as fast as we get in Japanese literature, it's gone. As fast as we get in Korean literature, it's gone. And the only hindrance of having more is we changed for several years. We did all the preaching in English, gave everybody the same edition of the NIV, told them what page it was on, read it slowly, distinctly, and preached slowly and distinctly. But then we had quite a few people coming to the English classes who didn't stay for church. And we found out they would if it was in Chinese because their English wasn't good enough. So about the last year, a little over a year, we've been translating into Chinese on Sunday morning. And a lot more converts. But right now we have a lot of contacts in a lot of countries, both Christians and non-Christians, who've passed through our doors in the last few years. And naturally, I would like to make a trip. I'd like to, primarily to Asia. But if I went to China, I'd probably need at least 2 months. Just to visit every place from Inner Mongolia to Hangzhou to Shanghai to Chongqing, Kunming, Xi'an, And I don't think it's the will of God to do it. It's just, I say natural, because Bessie's too old to travel, and she's also, I shouldn't leave her for 9 weeks. And the primary responsibilities I've had for years. But every time I am home and am able to call on some of these people, just wide open. In one sense, I know that if I just quit everything else and concentrated on being a pastor of the International Church, we'd have a lot more fruit, and we're having it now. I baptized 10 Chinese on Easter Sunday, two of them from Taiwan, the rest from mainland China. I don't think the Lord's going to lead me that way. Well, partly, we also know that one of the ways that we've developed leadership over the years is me not being home. I mean, the church has, well, ever since I've been in the last 20 years, I have not given the time of day to the church, and the church is, you know, grown. So I'm periodically tempted to put my time here, or solely in one place. I don't think it's what God wants me to do, but it's when you see the fruit, when you do it, you just want to do more. We know that, another thing, we've agreed, the first fellow who came to Christ through this ministry, before we started the International Church, this is funny, excuse me, I may not tell it exactly right, but this is approximately right. This, we were just still in a little American church of, say, these depressed people, and we had a Bible study, and we had one college kid in this Bible study who was not right. And he disrupted the study all of the time with all kinds of questions, had nothing to do with anything, just very disruptive. So it was Steve Barry's class, and Steve talked to me, and he said, I think we either should... tell him he can't come to the class, but maybe we should just say, why don't you, or tell him if he comes, he has to keep his mouth shut. So the two of us went calling on the kid and said, gave him those two choices. But if he did want to come to church, so Steve would come back to the Sunday school class. Steve would come for him between the Sunday school class and church, and he could still come to church. Well, that's he elected. He didn't think it was possible to keep his mouth shut if he... So we said, okay, the other alternative, we'll come and get you for church service. So Steve went to get him and picked him up, and then went to pick up a Nigerian fellow. And got to the apartments where the Nigerian lived on South Grand, and sent the kid up to the door. He said, it's apartment 3. Well, the kid went up to apartment 3A. Knocked on the door, Chinese opened the door, not a Nigerian. And the kid, in effect, said, don't just stand there, get in the car. Well, they didn't know. They shouldn't. So these three guys got in the car. And then Steve picked up the Nigerian. So, well, it's one of these cases I happen to have, you know, this is one of these unusual things. I had Chinese Bibles. I don't know why, but anyhow, they got Chinese Bibles, and I called them, but it turned out that they weren't supposed to be there. You know, in fact, one of them was a communist spy on the other people. I found out later because he was writing stories back, and so I came back there next, not knowing that it wasn't legitimate. I came back to pick them up the next Sunday. And they all said, no, thank you, except they now had a new roommate. Well, these three fellows were from Chengdu, which is in Sichuan province, but the new roommate was from Hangzhou, and they couldn't normally understand each other except in the Mandarin dialect. And when this new fellow found out I was coming to take him to church, oh, he was ready to go. And he never missed. And he was one of those fellows that came to Christ before we started the International Church, and he translated Principles of War into Chinese for me. And he's a translator. Back in Hangzhou, how do you pronounce that? Hangzhou. And I've stayed in regular correspondence with him, and his daughter is probably a senior in high school this coming year, and she's been the number one student since kindergarten and has a TOEFL exam, you know, as high as you can get in 600s, if they go that high, I don't know. And she wanted to study in the States as an undergraduate, so I got her catalogs from three or four universities and sent her back there. And he wanted somebody to sponsor her. Well, somebody sponsored her from someplace. I don't know. And he said she wanted to go to the University of Idaho. So we wrote and told her she could spend the 4 years at the University of Idaho at our home. So she'll be coming in the fall of 92, unless things change. She's been sponsored, got very high exams, and she will be, well, the Lord might lead something else, but that's the plan right now. We'd like to see a lot more people get into it. We'd like to see a lot more people in Pullman, in Moscow, get into it. People respond to love and attention, and you don't have to talk about the gospel. Probably better if you didn't. They'll ask. And then you give them books, and we give them tracts, we give them all kinds of things in Chinese and English, and then they read them. So we have, we can't keep it, we can't keep this stuff in stock. One of the girls that ended up in a car accident, she had been starting coming to things, she showed up at several weddings that I performed, Christians, I'd witnessed to her, gave her some literature. She ended up in a car accident and in a coma for about 13 months. And we were the ones that were allowed in. And we were the ones that took care of her brother. And Barbara just spent many, I think she's now back in China. But the one of the people from the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C. came out and he saw that it was the Christians that were taking care of this woman, and he has offered Barbara all kinds of special privileges out of Washington, D.C., because he can see. And this has not been our major, you know, our major thrust. We still have the bookstores, still have the other churches. It's been a major sideline and a very effective one. We would like to go to simultaneous translation so we can hit more than one language. Right now we're not just doing phrase by phrase, sentence by sentence. And if we had translators that were good enough, we would probably go simultaneous to get the message out to more languages. We think more people would come.
How would you have them speaking simultaneously without...
There are several ways. They can pick it up with the microphone. They can be in other rooms, and they'll hear me on a micro on a speaker and concurrently talk. And the people can have headphones on. Questions?
I have a case that I want to share with you. Get some advice on how to handle, but it's for the couple Cambodians.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, Vietnamese. That's another thing we did. Beth and I sponsored Ethiopian refugees to the States, and we sponsored a Vietnamese. This has been several years ago. Once a person, the INS has a hard time letting anybody into this country. And when they come in this country, they don't want them to end up on the welfare. So somebody's going to guarantee to take care of them and feed them if they need it. So generally, most, even legitimate refugees, need sponsors. Let's thank God. Father in heaven, we thank you very much for the way you have told us years ago to take care of aliens in the land. We pray that you'd give us a real burden and concern to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.